I guess it's time to go back in time.
Are you telling me you built a time machine? Out of a DeLorean?
Time is but a stubborn illusion.
I have a lot of memories of the past.
People are time traveling within themselves.
Time travel is possible.
Merkel Media.
I start running, and as I'm running out of this dense forest, I finally see the trail. And so I'm like, yes, I'm back on the trail. And as my foot hits the trail, I just hear this really deep rumble growl, like, oh.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow his head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg, and I look over, and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reached my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Okay, I'm reloaded.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals. I am your host, Tony Merkel. Thank you for being here. If you had an encounter or a story you'd like to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com. Hit the contact section and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me, just get a hold of me. If you want more shows every week, we drop a bonus show on Thursdays for members. All you got to do is go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, become a member, and you'll get access to all the content that we come out for members in the past and in the future, and it's all available on an app. And the app also offers Tuesday shows ad-free listening. So if that interests you, go to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit that join button, and become that member. Also, go ahead and subscribe to YouTube. That's The Confessionals on YouTube. I am thinking about changing the name of the YouTube channel from The Confessionals to Merkel Media. It is a thought in my mind. Right now, it is The Confessionals, but I am thinking about changing it to Merkel Media just because we do The Confessionals on there. We do the new show, Legion of Legends, which I'm heading to Kentucky to do very soon, a week-long journey trying to hunt down the dog man in Kentucky. That's all on Legion of Legends right there on the YouTube channel. That's why I'm thinking about changing it up to just Merkel Media, which is a company that I own, because I'm doing more than just The Confessionals on YouTube. I'm actually thinking about starting a voicemail call-in show for people on YouTube where we do it live. And I'm also thinking about retelling some stories in a very cool production way. I have these cameras for Legion of Legends. I'm trying to find new ways to use it for the YouTube channel. So I'm thinking, if I'm going to be doing so much stuff on YouTube, then why not actually change the name of it to Merkel Media, or maybe just Tony Merkel? I'm still trying to figure it out. If you got some ideas as far as what I should call the YouTube channel, just shoot us an email or comment in the comments section on Instagram. I would greatly appreciate it. Friends, today we have Brooke coming on the show, and Brooke has a lot of great stuff, some paranormal stuff to Sasquatch stuff to Casper the Ghost. I promise you, literally, Casper the Ghost. So without any further delay, let's get to Brooke right now. All right, today we got Brooke on the show. Brooke, how are you?
Good, you?
I'm doing fine. So, Brooke, you're on your lunch break, so thanks for making the time here. We got ourselves a mail carrier here, and she's taking the time to talk to us on her break, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, Brooke, you have several different experiences, and ranging from, you know, some paranormal type stuff to, you know, possible Bigfoot stuff. And, you know, I just categorize everything into the paranormal, where, you know, if it's on a topic that I cover on my show, I just say everything's paranormal. It's outside the normal of what we're told is normal. So let's start off with your experience when you're 5 years old, and we'll work way through some of this stuff. But when you were five, you had an imaginary friend, and you said it was a ghost hopscotch friend. What was that about?
Yeah, my email was bad. I apologize for that.
That's
but
all right.
I had an imaginary friend, and I knew he was an imaginary friend named Hopscotch. But he had a ghost friend, and as silly as that sounds, like I knew that I didn't see Hopscotch. He wasn't real. Like, that was very clear in my head, but I still like pretended to play with him and stuff like that. But every now and then it would just be Hopscotch's friend was here. And it was it looked like a very loose shape of like a child kneeling, of just kind of like a black blob I would see every now and then. Like, I had a big Barbie house and I would play Barbies and Hopscotch would be playing with me. And I would just hear like, Hopscotch's friend is here. Like, I'd hear like a little voice kind of like that in my head, not like out loud. And I'd be like, oh, that's weird. And I'd like turn around, and in the corner of my room, there'd just be like this ghost thing. And my brother, he was kind of mean to me in like the loving way, and he wanted me to get rid of my imaginary friends. And so he tried on like killing Hopscotch and Hopscotch's friend a bunch of times with his imaginary friend, and it was just his way of picking on me. And I don't know why, but every time my brother would talk, like say, oh, like my imaginary friend's gonna get your imaginary friend, that's when I would see this like blob the most. And it would always be in a corner, and it wasn't like a dark corner, it could be a bright corner, and I would always see like just a black figure. And it wasn't like mean, I never got a mean feeling from it, it was just kind of there. But I could tell that it was very annoyed at my brother when he would say these things. And then it would only stay at my house. Like, Hopscotch would come with me, but like nobody, it wouldn't follow us to restaurants or my grandparents or anything else. And my sister talked about seeing like shadows moving at night, but we always just kind of chalked it up. It's like, it's just us being sleepy or whatever, you know? So that's where it all started. That was like my first ghost thing.
Do you ever feel like the whole, you know, imaginary friend sometimes isn't so imaginary? I mean, you said that your imaginary friend wasn't real and stuff, but what makes you feel like that? Because I know sometimes people have imaginary friends, and looking back at it, they're like, I'm not so sure that imaginary friend was so imaginary.
I like, and at the time, I don't know, it just felt like Hopscotch was there, but he was clearly somebody I made up, you know, he was like a part of me. Whereas like this was just an outside presence that was like, it would be as if my sister was like kneeling in the room. Like, I could sense that she was there, but it wasn't coming from me. Whereas like Hopscotch was, and I don't know, it was really weird. And I couldn't explain it for the longest time. And then I started, you know, like ghost stuff started happening, and I started researching, and I was like, oh yeah, that's what happened.
Man, I don't know. I my sister, she had imaginary friends growing up, lots of them, you know, and I just know, I don't know what it was about them and stuff, but it always just stuck in my mind that my sister, and just remembering it. And the one time I asked her, you know, I was podcasting by this time, and I asked her, I said, you know, do you think that they were, you know, imaginary, or do you think there's more to it? And she said, we should talk about it sometime, or something like that. And then we never did. So I don't know. I don't know if she actually wants to talk to me about it.
Yeah, no. And this was, this was like the happy time. I talked about some bad things happening to me. So this was like, I don't know, like just happy spirits, I guess. I don't remember anything bad happening before this. So I just chalked it up as like something was passing through. At the time, our whole family was pretty religious, and now not so much, but, yeah, it was weird.
So when you're 6 to 8 years old, what happened here? I mean, you say you saw an angel on the door.
Yeah. So it wasn't until your show and you were taught, it was like one of your first interviews that you, somebody came on and was like, I saw an angel. And I was like, when I was little, again, my family being religious, everyone claimed that they like saw Jesus. And like, if one of my family members had like a near death experience or something, but nobody mentioned anything about angels. And, so I don't know. I never said anything because it never in my kid brain clicked that you could see angels kind of thing. And, yeah, it wasn't until your show that I was like, yeah, that's what it was. But, I was sleeping in my grandparents' bedroom with my siblings, all around and in the closet. So like I try to now logic it out, like maybe this is my brain, dealing with the trauma. So, another little girl got molested and then she in turn touched me because she thought that's what was right. It is what it is. I'm over it. But that's where the things happened. And I just remember I dreaded going to sleep in there, and that's where all the kids slept. It wasn't, you know, like I was in there by myself or anything, but I always hated that room because of the stuff that happened there. But my siblings were all there and we're all sleeping. And then it was like morning time and I was kind of groggy and kind of in and out of it. And then all of a sudden it was like something snapped, like you just snap awake sometimes. And I 100% know that I was not like sleep dreaming or like kind of in and out of it at this point. I was 100% awake, and like it was like time froze. Like my siblings just weren't moving. They weren't responsive. I didn't like check on them or anything. I never left the bed, but like it felt like time really froze. And I looked over at the door, because I was again getting that sense of dread, and I looked over and I saw like this little ball of light on top of the doorknob. And it's like an old 1920s, a little bit bigger doorknob. But I saw this little ball of light, and inside of it, I could vaguely make out like a figure. And I was like, oh my God, it's a fairy. Like it's Tinkerbell, because I watched Peter Pan and I got all excited that it was a fairy. And the ball of light kind of shrunk a little bit around the form, and I could see more of the figure. And it wasn't mad at me, but I felt like not like anger, but it was kind of like scolding me, like, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to swear. Lady, look, lady, I'm not a fairy. Those aren't real. I'm an angel, deal with it, kind of thing. And I don't know, like it never said anything, but that's like the impression. It like pushed these feelings into me. It's like, again, it's not like I had these, I created these feelings. It was like a force being brought into me. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then I got the feeling that feeling of dread from the closet, it went away. And like, I kind of got the sense that I would never have to deal with that anymore. And after that day, like nothing bad happened in that closet. She, like, what happened to her was found out and she got help. And like a lot of good things happened after this. And the way that experience ended, I was told to close my eyes, or like, again, a feeling kind of in someone talking inside your brain. So I just closed my eyes and then I snapped awake, and like I was again groggy and sleepy and kind of in and out of it. But so were my siblings, and everybody was waking up. And my middle brother, he's kind of the more closest to the religious out of all of them. He was like, something feels weird. He just woke up and felt weird and like kept inspecting the closet. I was like, yeah, I don't know. It's just stuff happened. You know, and I never said anything. And that's what happened there. And like, I don't know how I feel about God these days, like in the Christian sense, but like 1000%, that thing told me it's an angel. It's an angel. Like, I'm not changing my mind on that.
Yeah. Well, why didn't you say anything to your brother? I mean, if he's inspecting and he feels like there was something going on, I mean, was there a reason why you just didn't tell him?
As he was inspecting it, I wanted to tell him, but then I was like, oh no, nobody's seen that. We've all heard stories of my family members almost dying and seeing Jesus. I was like, nobody sees an angel. That's crazy. And then I just never mentioned it. Like, I thought about it from time to time throughout my life, but I never mentioned it to my family. And then I heard that episode where somebody was seeing an angel, I think in like Afghanistan, Iraq. And I was like, oh, this is real, you know?
So have you told anybody since then?
No, this is the first time.
Oh, man. Hopefully, I hope they listen to this show. I hope they hear this show and they're like, wait a second, that's Brooke.
Yeah.
All right. So we go from angels to demons. So
yeah.
You're 9 years old and you saw you said you saw your first demon, which I'm interested in hearing if there's more encounters, but tell me about it.
So I was told that I wouldn't go to heaven if I wasn't baptized. That's just the kind of church we went to. So I got really scared and I was like, I need to get baptized. And that's not the right reason to get baptized. But I did. And I remember as the pastor was dunking me underwater, I was like, please forgive me. I really do want to get baptized. I just also don't want to go to hell, you know? I got baptized and, I got baptized at noon and it was 6 o'clock. We just finished dinner and I don't know why, but I asked my parents the time and that's the only reason I know that it was six. Probably cause I was trying to get out of bed or bedtime or something. I don't know. But I asked them the time and it was 6 o'clock. And they're like, you need to go shower. You need to get ready for bed. So I hop in the shower. And I've always gotten a little scared in the shower. It's just, you know, you feel vulnerable. And so my parents told me, like, if you're ever scared, just remember to sing. Like, I would sing Jesus Loves Me in the shower, just because, like, that made me feel safe and that, like, he was there with me and all that wonderful stuff. But I started to get, like, scared and I started singing and, like, I just kept getting more scared to the point like where my voice, like I was like very, very little. And normally like I start singing that song and I'm like belting it in the shower because I feel like safe and happy and all this stuff. But I don't know why, something was like really sucking out of me. And in this shower, like in this bathroom, there's two doors. So you're in the shower looking out into the bathroom. You can go straight into our like utility room. And I always lock that door because that's the one closest to how people get in and out of the house. And then there's another door that you can come in through a hallway in our house. And that one's like right by the shower. And in order to open that door, you would cast a big shadow on the bathroom, like shower curtain, and you would see the big shadow. But I lock both doors when I was in the shower. I was just a weird little kid. And so I got baptized. I was really struggling to sing this song. And I look over and I just see like a little boy, black figure shadow going across the shower curtain. And I was so scared to open the shower curtain because I just knew something bad was behind there. And I just didn't know how to whatever. And I was trying to like logic it out in my head. And so I was like, hey, Brandon, is that you? That's my middle brother. Like, hey, Brandon, is that you? And he didn't answer. And he just looked at me like the head turned and it was the sizing was all wrong. But it came in the one door that would have cast a big shadow and it didn't cast a shadow. This just the shadow figure came through and then it like turned its head and looked at me and I could see like a faint red where the eyes were. But not like, you know, people talk about bright red eyes, just a little faint red. And then it bolted out the door without opening it and creating that big shadow again. And I don't know how long I stayed there, but the water turned cold. And by the time I came to, I was cry screaming. Sound like such a little bitch, but I was like cry screaming. And my mom like came in and she was like, what is going on? And we had like a little crucifix thing, like a little cross with a saying written all over it, like straight out of the 90s. on the wall. And that was the nail came out of the wall with the crucifix on the floor. And I was like, Mom, I think I saw something. And I said it to her, and she obviously wanted to like comfort me and console me. And she was really worried. Like, we went and saw the pastor the next day and everything, because with my siblings, every time they got baptized, it's a number was six. Like, for me, it was 6 hours. For my brother, it was 6 minutes. My other brother, it was like 6 days or something. And they all saw something demonic. And my sister says she's seen things, but like, she refuses to talk about it. We came in and she was screaming like at the top of her lungs and whatever. But it really freaked me out, because I'm the baby. And so like, we've all seen something evil, six somethings after we got baptized. And it was just weird.
Three kids?
It's just like really weird. And I don't know, that one, four.
Four kids?
Four, okay. I'm the fourth.
I was going to say, that would be six, six, six.
Yeah, I know. Like, my mom was real worried. Like, she, later in life, she told me, she's like, I'm glad that you had it, because that means it's four sixes and not threes, but also that's bad.
Yeah, I can understand that. I can understand that. Why do you think that happened? I mean, looking back and stuff, I mean, do you think it was because of the baptism that spawned that whole thing?
That's kind of what our family has come to. It seems like every time my family tries and gets close with God, like real evil things, like they see evil things or they hear evil things. It's not like it constantly persists, but like one, there will be like one really bad occasion that happens. And so we do think it was the baptism, but yeah, I don't know for sure, but that was the first time, and that one sticks with me.
Yeah. And when you first started describing it, I was thinking, okay, so I'm wondering why the boy figure is the first thing that makes you think demon. And then when you say the faint red eyes, it's like, oh yeah, I would think that's a demon too. So
yeah.
Give me the red eyes and all of a sudden I'm freaked out too.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like, I've never had a bad ghost. I vaguely remember talking about seeing ghosts. Hopscotch's friend is the first ghost I can recall. This is like the first evil thing that's happened to me.
Yeah, it's well, I mean, definitely. I mean, at 9 years old, I think that would scare just about any kid for sure. And I don't think you're an oddball for that at all. Now, you're in sixth grade and you guys moved to Wisconsin, I believe, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So you move into this house, and you guys, I don't know if the whole family did or it's just you, but you guys discovered some interesting things in the house.
Oh my gosh, that house. So there was a little boy that was, it's military housing. My dad's in the military. So we were at Fort McCoy, and we were in 801 housing, which is off base housing. And the family that lived there before me was my age, and he was the satanic religion. He had one of those where it's like, you know, it's the good Satan, like they preach a bunch of good things, but also it's weird, you know. And he was practicing that, and then he was also like getting into Aleister Crowley. I found one of those books in a vent. I had his room. Creepily enough, they moved me into the same room. But in one of the vents, I found an Aleister Crowley book, and I was friends with one of his old friends because he moved away, and I gave it to him. I was like, I don't want it, get rid of it. But underneath in the basement, underneath the staircase, it's like a tri-level. So the stairs kind of go both ways, and it creates this little nook underneath that like a little kid could fit in. And I found a pentagram with some like burnt candles around it. Like, clearly they were practicing stuff. The first night we moved in, we found a black widow spider, which aren't common in Wisconsin or the Midwest. Like, they can't survive here. And we found one. So it was clearly his pet, and we killed it. And I was still small enough where my mom thinks that it could have killed me, but I don't know. And it was weird. Yeah, it was just all weird. And then like, I don't know why, but every time I would be home alone, like something would fall in the kitchen. I don't know if it was a ghost. Like, I never got bad vibes. I just got like a sense of dread. at best, at worst. But if there, like, there was a spice rack, or baker's rack that we had like our cookbooks on, our sugar on, we had a microwave, and like it would just fling our freaking like sugar container, our cookbooks. There was one cookbook in particular. It was like a cookie cookbook. It did not like it. I'm assuming it's a ghost. I hope it's a ghost. And it's not like this demon that later tracked us through life. But yeah, it would like turn on our computer at random times. Like my dad would get mad at me. At this point, I'm the only one living there with my parents. And, my dad would be the first to wake up and he'd get real annoyed because my mom would go to bed first. I would go to bed shortly after. And then, and my dad would wake up right away. So in theory, it's between me and my dad, and the computer would always be on, and he'd be like, why are you turning on the, like, leave it off. It needs to stay off. It's my business computer. I'm like, I'm not. And it was just a bunch of weird things. And then my cousin died, in New York, and we went to the funeral. We did our funeral thing, and then we came back, and my mom, like, it hit her hard because she was closest to that sister. And I think it was like the first young death in our family. I wasn't obviously that close to my cousin or my aunt at this point, but it was like hitting her really hard, and she just kept bringing him up every now and then. And then all of a sudden we were watching like this action-packed kind of like Fast and the Furious style movie. I don't really remember the movie, but it was clearly like a heavy metal hard rock song at the end of the credits. And then all of a sudden it stopped and it turned on like Kermit the Frog Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And that was like my cousin was a theater major. So it was like his shtick. He loved Kermit. He loved that song. And it was just singing. And we all were like getting up to leave this movie, clean up our popcorn, put our blankets away, whatever. And the song came on and my mom just turned back at the TV. And I was like, oh crap, something's happening. You know, like I thought it was going to escalate. And my mom was like, thanks for stopping by, Eric. I'll see you when I see you. And she just like started crying. And as soon as she said goodbye, it snapped off and it went back to the heavy metal rock song. And it was, my brother was visiting. So it was me and my mom, my brother, and we all watched this happen. And so it's not like one of us was crazy. Like we all saw it and we all talk about it. And it was just really weird. And every now and then, like, I'll be listening to, like, a radio station that doesn't play, like, theater songs. And I'll hear, like Pippin songs and stuff like that come on the radio. And I'm like, Eric, leave me alone. I'm fine. I'm driving. You know? But, yeah, that's pretty much what happened there.
Well, So, you move into this environment. And, you found that spider. Now, did you say that spider was already dead or you guys had to kill it?
We had to kill it. We found it in my mom's bedroom, like on the middle of the wall. And we don't know, like we were, there for a good 8 hours, but there was nothing in that room besides their bed and a couple boxes. And we found it. We're like, where did this come from?
Yeah. Well, from what I understand, I could be totally wrong on this, but from what I understand with black widows, they're very deadly. But from what I understand, it takes a lot for them to bite you. I mean, it's one of those things where they're not going to bite you unless they feel like, you know, they're in your hand and you're going to squish them kind of thing. But, you know, I could be totally wrong on that. It's just it's a thought in my head that I must have heard somewhere that just got me not to be so scared of black widows. Maybe I should be. I don't know. I don't know. But
yeah. No, it was just a lot of weird, questionable things, like stereotypical things you would find with like a goth Satanist kid. And it kept building up, like everything about this kid that lived in my room, just it all pointed to it. And the Black Widow was just like the cherry on top.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, who wants to find a pentagram underneath the basement stairs, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure some people would. They'd get a kick out of it. if I moved into a house and it had that kind of stuff, I'd be like, oh, crap. Why didn't I see this before I signed on it? You know?
Now, yeah, I know. And like, it's not like we could have moved either. Like, the government was like, this is your house. Live here for 4 years.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucked, but whatever.
What'd your parents have to say about that stuff when they saw like the pentagram and stuff?
Oh, I never told them.
Wait, they don't know about it?
They know now because I've told them stories, but I was friends with his friend. And he told me like the things that they were doing, like they were trying to summon things and like practice witchcraft. And I didn't ask a lot of questions because I was still kind of religious at this point. And I was like, keep that away from me. But, so the kid that lived there, his name is Audie. His friend's name is Kyle. And I was friends with Kyle, and Kyle kind of explained like lighting it. He thought that it was, the witch pentagram, but they did it upside down based on north and south. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention. And so they kind of told me about that, and they're like, yeah, you just wash it away with this. And he gave me like, I'm pretty sure it was just like vinegar and bleach, but he gave me some stuff to wash it away and said that it should, no bad energy should hang around. And I was like, okay, I'll do it, but let's not talk about this anymore. Let's go ride our bikes.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. You're just like, I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about this bone den you found. I mean, shoot, call, you know, the bone den. It sounds scary.
Yeah. So there was like this little pond, and, I'm pretty sure it was like sandblasted, and then they just stopped doing that and walked away and like worked on a different project. I don't know, but it was like a little pond that had some minnows and some frogs, and that's all it could sustain. And then you climb up like this rock formation that like kind of encloses it. And it kind of like is a sad version of Pride Rock that juts over from the Lion King, over the pond. And we climb up there because we want to be king of the mountains and we're kids. And we find like all these bones, and they're like big bones, little bones. Now looking back, now that I have like some experience, I can acknowledge that they were like deer bones to rabbit bones and like that size of, and I was like, oh, it must be a coyote den. It must be a wolf den. That's what I was thinking at the time. But the more we would like walk out to this, it was about 2 miles into like past cornfields into like this wooded area that I lived by, that we would play in. And so it was kind of tucked back away from everything, but still close enough to the house. But the more we hung out there, the more strange things happened. Like we would find frogs bitten in half and laid out, on the sandy side of the pond where we would like dip our feet in and try and catch minnows and stuff. They would be like in a line, half bitten. And like other kids went there. So again, at the time I was like, oh, that's just other kids being other kids. But they're like our age and younger, you know? And I was like, it's kind of gross, but maybe a boy did it, you know? And then I found like rabbits hanging up by like, it looked like handmade twine from like those really soft branches from the pine needles, because that's kind of like the trees that were around this pond were pine trees. But you know how like if you get a young enough branch, it's loose enough where you can kind of like tie it together?
Yeah.
Okay. So like it was kind of like makeshift twine that these rabbits were hanging up on, and they were on branches and so high up, like probably 7-8 feet, way too high for us to reach. And they were on branches too little to climb out and tie to. And I was like, that's, you know, like now looking back, I'm like, that's Sasquatch. That is like Sasquatch Dogman. That's some creature of the night living here, you know? But again, I just chalked it up to weird boys. And then I like after disturbing their bone den that first week, we found like not like footprints, but like it was like a human footprint where it's like the heel, but, and then you have like that flat front part, but it was only two dots, you know, like a dog print, two dots. So it's like one big heel, two dots. So almost kind of like a paw print, but then like it clearly had nails that were like sinking in to the ground. And it went like way deep. Like I stuck my index finger in there as a little kid, and I couldn't reach the bottom of like where this creature was. And they were clearly like putting all their weight on their toes, because that's the part that's like so sunken in. And I was just like, oh, okay. After that I stopped going because I got weirded out, and I started feeling like people were watching me or something, and there was no one out there except for other kids, and we'd all go out as a group. But I just started getting like the sense that someone's watching me, and I didn't feel comfortable there anymore after finding the footprints and messing with the bones. Like, cause we saw them up there on Pride Rock. We just never went. And then one day we just got ballsy, I guess. And we all went up, and then like 2 or 3 weeks later, it couldn't have been more than a month. And it was in the middle of summer. So like, that's the fun place to be. And I was like, no, I'm not going back out there because somebody's clearly watching me. I'm getting that feeling. And there's these weird, weird footprints out there. And it was just looking back, I'm like, and I started listening to Sasquatch Chronicles. I'm like, maybe that was Sasquatch, like politely telling me to leave.
Well, the footprints are definitely odd. That doesn't sound like Sasquatch. I don't know what it would be. I mean, you mentioned about dog print. How big were these prints, though? I mean, were they obviously very large?
Not large, not like what people would say is Sasquatch size, but a really, like a grown man's foot, maybe a little bit bigger.
But there's only two toes?
No. They had, I want to say 4 or 5 toe prints in, like the toenails. Like it was clearly like if somebody had a long nail and stuck it in the sand, like you could, you know how you could tell, but like the footprint part was two little balls in the front of their feet and then the back big ball.
Interesting. That's enough to freak you out, especially after what you found up there.
And it was just, my witchy friend Kyle, he was kind of like dabbling out there too. That probably also sent me away. That's popped in my head.
I mean, he was practicing witchcraft out there?
Kind of. He like make little totems. I don't really think he knew what he was doing, but he would like find little sticks and make the little wooden woven circles, and he would try and draw like do triangles. He couldn't get like a good pentagram. He wasn't that gifted with it, but he would try.
Gets an A for effort, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Good job, buddy. You're really trying.
I mean, he's a good soul. He's just, he's a little weirdo.
Yeah. So that's an interesting experience. And, I don't know what the heck that could have been. Maybe Bigfoot. I don't know. It's kind of creepy, though, when you start talking about having rabbits hanging from trees by these little twines and stuff. That's creepy. It would make me feel like there's something out there watching me, too.
Oh, and there's like, going back, sorry, to Hopscotch's friend, there's a lore in northern Indiana where I'm from that there's this guy called Mr. Wolf and Mrs. Wolf. They were a family that had children, and he rescued some wolves. So he had some pet wolves. And the legend goes that like he was out looking for his wolves one night. And he was swinging his greenish, yellowish lantern. But he had glass, in the lantern. It goes into great detail why it's green. But he has his green lantern as he's looking for his wolves. And as he's out looking for his wolves, they have been missing so long that they come back and they eat his kids. And that's, the lore, and it's spooky. He found his kids kneeling down, in like a kneeling position, kind of slumped over, and his wolves were eating them. And that's like the legend. And in northern Indiana, you can like go out, you can see like a green lantern. Like, I didn't do it, I was too young, but my siblings did it and they saw like the green lantern. And so I grew up with this knowledge that there are spooky things in the woods. And so I come up to Wisconsin and I'm like, oh, you guys have your own weird stuff going on. And then you started talking about rakes and stuff on your show. And I was like, oh, I don't know what I was encountering, but I'm going to chalk it up as Sasquatch.
Yeah. Welcome to America, where all the creepy stuff happens in the woods. I love it.
Yeah.
I freaking love it. I talked to some people overseas and stuff, and like in the UK, there's a lot of people that say, there are Bigfoot in UK, but there's a lot of people that are like, no way, there's no Bigfoot in UK, and they walk around the woods and it's like, there's nothing about these woods. And I'm like, well, here in America, we got some really bonkers stuff going on in our woods.
Yeah. And I mean, even if, like, in the UK, even if it's not Sasquatch, they got their fairy folk and all that other weird stuff. I'm like,
well, that when you said that earlier, so I was like, oh, here you go, Brooke. You offended the people in the UK with saying fairies aren't real.
Yeah.
So let's talk about.
Sorry.
Yeah, you know, no, they're fine. They're fine. Trust me. They're thick skinned over there. So let's talk about your senior year of high school. I don't know if you guys moved into a log home or if you were just visiting, but you said there was straight up demonic activity going on.
Oh yeah, that house. We lived there. We were renting houses, trying to just get by until my dad could get stationed elsewhere. And we moved into this log home, and it was just bad. It was just all around bad. Like, we as a family started fighting more. It was just a lot of negative energy there. And specifically, a lot of it wouldn't happen in the living room. Like, looking back, we had 90% of our fights in the living room. And our dogs, they were little yipper dogs, and they would just sit there, like, every time they were in the living room. It did not matter the time of day. They would bark at this one corner of the living room, and right above the living room is my room. So they would just sit there and bark at this corner, and, like, there was no spiders, there was nothing there. It was just a brightly lit white corner, and I was like, what's going on, dude? Just let it go. It's a corner, you know? And, like, it got to the point where we would, like, block them off from the living room. And my friends and I would spend the night there, and, like, we'd, you know, play Just Dance on the Wii and be cool. We'd stay up late watching Ghost Adventures and, you know, other paranormal stuff or whatever was on TV. But we'd always, like, we'd try and sleep in the living room, and it never worked out. Like, I found my one friend who ended up living with us for, like, a hot minute. He would wind up, like, building a little makeshift blanket bed in the kitchen, which was right next to the living room, because he couldn't stay asleep in there. And it would always happen at, like, 3 o'clock. I think there was one time it happened at 2:57, but every other time it was 3 o'clock on the dot, something would wake us up. It didn't matter if it was one of us. It didn't matter if it was all of us. And it got to the point where I just didn't like going in there at night. I'd be like, hey guys, let's, like, go upstairs in my room and cram all up in there and try and have fun up there. And it, you know, it never worked. We'd always end up back down there. But, and every time I was alone, I can't speak for the rest of my family, because my mom got very scared and just stopped talking about it. She's like, you don't acknowledge it. It doesn't exist. It'll go away. That was her, like, mentality. And I caught her praying a couple times in there. I don't know if she, like, ever tried cleansing the house or anything, but she was just, like, didn't want to talk about it. And I'd walk in sometimes, and she'd be, like, pale white and shaking, and I'm like, Mom, what happened? She just didn't want to talk about it. And again, at this point, she is the most religious out of all of our family. So I think she was the one that had the most activity because of that. Kind of going back to the baptism thing. But when I would sleep in the living room, I'd fall asleep watching TV, and 3 o'clock would roll around and something would wake me up. Sometimes it was chills. Sometimes I would feel like somebody, like, petting my neck. Sometimes I would just snap awake. It didn't really matter. I would just wake up, and every time I was alone, all of the curtains would be open. We didn't have blinds. We just had curtains, and they would all be open. And it was like half of the log cabin was woods, and then the other half was the street. And, like, when the curtains were open, it just, I don't know, like, every time it just felt like someone was watching me, and I was like, no, thank you. So I'd go upstairs and I would go to bed, and, like, my dad, being a military man, would try his best to get me to make my bed every morning. And I did it most mornings, but not every morning. And he would get mad at me, because when he would walk in and, like, check to make sure I did my morning routine or whatever, when he got home from work at, like, 3 o'clock, he would find my blankets crumpled up in the closet. And I was like, no, I made my bed. Like, if I don't make my bed, I'm going to leave my bed messy. I'm not going to throw my blankets in the closet. And, like, it didn't matter if I made it, I didn't make it. Like, I probably got scolded 20 times because I didn't make my bed, and I threw my sheet, like my sheet, my bed sheet that went around my bed, into my closet. And I was like, I wouldn't do that. And there was a couple of times, like I had a boyfriend at the time, and he would sleep over with me from time to time. And I thought he was stealing the blankets, and I got mad. And I would be like, knock it off, give them back. And he would like be dead ass asleep on the floor, like not even in the bed. And I don't know if that's just him and how he sleeps, or like if this had to do with it, but he would be asleep on his side of the bed on the floor, no blanket. And something would be pulling at the blankets from like the corner where his feet would be. And I, you know, like maybe he was playing a practical joke on me and like grabbing the blanket with his feet. I don't know. But like something was pulling the blankets off of me at night. And it just, that whole house just felt bad. Like it wasn't a nice, if at best it was a ghost, it was not a nice ghost. And it just all sucked. And every time my mom hung, sorry, I just thought of this. Every time my mom tried to hang up a crucifix, like on the wall outside my door or in the living room, it wouldn't last. Like the ones with the words that were from Indiana that was in the bathroom, that one got broken. It was kind of like a ceramic-y whatever one with the words written on it. It got broken because it fell off the wall in the living room. But like, yeah, she got more and more mad because she wanted to hang up her crosses and enjoy her home, and something kept freaking pulling them off. And it was only in my room and the living room, which are like on top of each other. So it was all bad. I was so glad to leave that house.
I bet. I mean, did your mom or dad or anybody else ever draw a connection that there was something going on there?
Again, like my mom didn't talk about it. Yeah. I'm pretty sure she knew something. And again, I didn't really like have talks with my dad at this point like that. I wouldn't talk about stuff like that with him. So I don't know his perspective, and I've never asked him. It's just not something we talk about.
So the blankets being pulled, was that something that happened even when your boyfriend wasn't there, or only when he was there?
I only remember it when he was there. It could have happened when he wasn't, but there's like three times in my brain that distinctly hang out of my head. I remember waking up without blankets on me and just thinking that I kicked them off because I'm a kind of a restless sleeper that way. But generally I'm cold and I like my blanket. But then, you know, I woke up a couple times like freezing because I didn't have blankets on me, which, you know, normally I like my blankets on me, but I remember it being pulled off of me three times when he was there, and he was on the floor. Like, it never on normal occasions would he wake up on, you know, like if he's either messing with me or it's something else kind of thing.
Yeah. Now, how scared would you have been if you woke up and your blankets weren't on and they're standing in the middle of your room in the form of a person, like the classic ghost? That would be freaky.
No thank you.
That'd be the worst. Yeah. Like, I'm listening to you tell these stories. I'm like, please don't tell me you wind up seeing your blankets just floating in the room in the shape of a person.
No, and I remember like pulling at my blanket and like it giving good resistance to the point that like the very last time that it happened, I pulled on my blanket. I was like, give me my blankets back. And I pulled on it and I like kind of sat up, crawled over, you know, so I was like in a crawling position at the edge of the bed, looking at my boyfriend. And on this occasion, he was face down on the floor sleeping, like, and his feet weren't anywhere near the blanket. Like the part that got pulled off was like at the end of the bed towards the corner, not necessarily like on his side. And I was like, no, please no. And I never checked the time, but I'm assuming that it was probably around 3 a.m.
Of course. We'll just say it was, right?
Yeah.
That was 3 a.m. of course. So that happens in the log home. Now you're in your early 20s. And you're hiking a trail. It sounds like you're an avid hiker just by the fact that you took a 10-mile detour. But what happened out there that scared you to make you do that 10-mile detour?
So I was preparing for the AT, to hike the AT, Appalachian Trail at this time. So I was like, yeah, I was pushing. I was trying to do like 25 miles a day by myself, like, you know, without any weight on me, and then with weight. And I was trying to build up the endurance to go on this hike. And I was just out. I chose like an easy path because I wanted to do 38 miles that day. So I chose like a horse path that was like fairly wide. You know, you could probably drive like an ATV down it. It was very wide and very open. And it was running parallel to this highway. And every now and then you get like a patch of trees between you and this, like, not a highway, like a county road. In between the two of you, and you get like a little piece, but you'd always hear like the cars buzzing by. And then on the other side, it was like Wisconsin swampy, pine needly woods, with a little bit, you know, with like some trees thrown in there, like normal trees, not pine trees. And so I'm walking down this road and I see like a hunter's stand, and it's not in a marshy area. It's like close, like on the edge of a cornfield, you know, just in the solid ground. I'm like, okay, there's hunters here, whatever, you know. And it was like in spring. It wasn't during hunting season, but I made note of it because later down the line, it got more marshy and you could see the water kind of, it was a little bit deeper. And I saw like trash thrown in there, and it kind of looked like a trail. Like if I had to power jump, I could jump this trail. And that's what I got distracted. So I put my backpack down, and I know you're not supposed to leave the trail, but it's a big trail. I'm pretty sure I could find it. And I started hopping on like pallets and tires and stuff. And like, I would sink a little bit, but like they were pretty sturdy. It's like they were all on top of rocks or some solid ground underneath in the swamp. And I started making my way out there, and I was like, I'm going to find another deer hunter stand. Maybe I could get like a really cool photo or something. And so I had just my phone and I was out walking, and then like the jumps got further and further apart to the point where I was like, ah, screw it. I took off my shoes and I just started walking through like this knee deep marshy area. Cause I really thought I was getting close to these things, and I'm probably like a mile, maybe two, into this like trail of trash, and it's just like the jumps are like 7-8 feet apart now, and I'm like, if you're a hunter with all your camo on and your bow or your gun with me, first of all, you don't want to be jumped. Like it just didn't make sense to me, and I was like, okay, whatever, let's see what this Yahoo's all about. And I got to a point where the pine needle branches were like broken off, and like in these little circles that looked like little gorilla patches, like from the cartoon Tarzan, it looked like little patches, like bedding. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And again, like I just got a sense, not a sense of dread, but like, hey, you're not supposed to be here. So I was like, okay, I've fucked around. I'm sorry. I've messed around enough. I'm going to head back. And so I turned around and I headed back to the trail. And at the time, like my Indiana family always jokes, like Wisconsin's full of serial killers. You know, you got like, we got Ed Gein, Jeffrey Dahmer. We got a couple. So like, they're always joking that I'm going out in the woods and I'm going to get murdered, or I'm going to become a murderer. And so that's where my brain went. I was like, yeah, like this is a murder. This is a murderer, like marking so he can come back and find his body. It's a serial killer. That's it. And I was like, that's the logic I went with. And I just booked it back to this horse trail. And I started walking like a little bit further, like to the point, I don't know how far, but like my feet were dry now. And I put my shoes back on because it's a little bit gravelly, soft dirt road. And I was like, yeah, I don't know, I was worried about mud. And then I came to like a bigger patch of woods between us and the highway. And I couldn't really hear the cars anymore. And I got, like, I could hear birds and stuff. And I was like, fuck yeah. I'm sorry. Like, yeah. You know, and I got all excited because it felt more nature-y and less like a workout trail. And there was, like, again, pine needles and, a big pine tree forest with a lot of pine needles and no ferns on the ground. So you could kind of see out a ways. Yeah, so you could kind of see out a ways. And then it became very dense, thick pine tree forest, like in under a mile. And I was like, okay, that's like nice. And I heard these birds and I was loving it. And I was walking, I was just having a good time. And then all of a sudden the birds stopped and it got real quiet, like really quiet. And I don't know why, I just, again, got really afraid. And like, this was the first time this is the first time that I felt this afraid since I saw that demon after I was baptized. I just got that much fear in me to the point where I just started sprinting. I was like, fuck this, I'm out.
That's all right.
I'm like, and I booked it out, and I don't run. I hate running. And I ran like 3 or 4 miles. I got to like a mile marker, and that's how I knew I was booking it. But there was still very dense forest on the side. It's kind of like the trail snaked away from the county road for 3 or 4 miles. And I was like, okay, I'm done. I pulled up my map on my phone because I was getting spotty reception. I was like, I should just check it now. And so I went, the highway intersected with this road, and the trail also, because they were going parallel, intersected with this road. And so I saw the road and I was like, yes, I'm taking this. This feels safe. And it was away from the highway, but I had to turn right kind of more towards the dense pine tree side of the trail. And that's when I took that 10 mile detour, and I like walked past that whole point, and I just made a giant U basically to go back because I was done. I didn't want to continue this trail. And on the other side, I came into like maybe like a ski trail, but it was spring, so obviously it's like overgrown with grass and stuff. And I was like, okay, I'll take this. And I was looking at my map, and I was like, yeah, I think it intersects with the trail back here. And what sucked though was this, not ski, what's the word? Snowmobile trail. My bad. Snowmobile trail. So it went through the dense forest, which I didn't like, but I was like, it looks like it's only a mile, maybe two, through this dense forest. And then I'm back on the trail, and I've got like a short hike back to my car because I've made this giant U, and I'm cutting a little bit of the square, you know, and getting back on the trail. And so I started walking down there. And as I'm walking down this path, I get that sense of fear again. And I look over and I see like a DNR gate up. And there's a like clearly like not a national forest, but like a forestry truck there. And I was like, murderer. This is the murderer. I freaking landed here. I tried to avoid it. I was really like just working myself up. And then the birds got quiet again. And like just dead quiet. And it was bad. And as I'm like walking past this little cutout, where you can clearly see that the truck is behind this gate, and it's like a green truck, and it's like parallel with the gate. So I'm walking past the gate and past this truck, and I just see that the doors are open and the blinkers are on. I was like, why are the blinkers on? You're like, you've locked yourself into this gate, you know? And I was just like, okay, that's weird. You know, and I was like, yeah, he's a murderer. He's probably trying to not be suspicious, and his captive escaped. I don't know. I was still going down the murder path. And so I keep walking, and I was like, that's really, really strange. And then all of a sudden I see like 3 or 4 deer bolt past me, and I'm like, yep, murder. I'm booking it. So I start running, and as I'm running out of this dense forest, I finally see the trail. And so I'm like, yes, I'm back on the trail. And as my foot hits the trail, I just hear this really deep rumble growl, like, but like deep. And I was like, okay, I clearly messed with something. And like, after doing hunting and everything, I know that's not a wolf. I know that's not a species native to Wisconsin. Like, I don't know what made that growl. But again, I'm between the gorilla beds and the growl, I'm chalking it up to Sasquatch. And I'm pretty sure Sasquatch got that DNR guy. Because, like, his doors were open, the blink, like, his flashers were on, and I was like, that's weird.
And that's what you settled on?
Yeah. That's what I settled on. Like, years later, after I started listening to Sasquatch Chronicles.
That's the worst.
Like, oh yeah.
That's the worst. So you're like, yep, that guy's gone. Sasquatch got him.
Yeah. Yeah. I won't go back. I won't. Like, I won't take anybody with me. I won't ride a horse through that. No, I'm not going back to that trail. No, thank you.
Man. So did that experience, and I mean, did it affect you with your whole mission to go hiking the AT?
No. I met somebody and I got pregnant, had kids, and that kind of put a pause on it. We're waiting until she's out of high school and then we'll do it.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Yeah. Kids do that, don't they? They put dampers in things. It's all right though. Wow. Well, I would have been scared out there myself. And if I'm settling on the idea that Bigfoot got a guy, then I'm definitely, no, I'd go back. I'd go back, but I approached the whole thing in a different mindset. I'm out there trying to actually have that encounter, so it is what it is. But listen, I want to. Who's Casper?
Casper is Jordan's friend. He passed away, but Jordan's my husband. He passed away before I ever met Jordan, and he was in the military, so Jordan has his dog tags and a key to the apartment that they shared together, and he's always hung it up along with the sweatshirt, like on the wall. Like, he put a nail in our apartment, he put a nail in the wall to hang up a sweatshirt and never wear it. And I was, because he never talked about it for like the first 6-9 months we were together, it was just there. And I was like, okay, I respect that, whatever, weird choice. But yeah, like, so I was having issues in this apartment. My witchy friend Kyle came with, he's gay. He came with his boyfriend and they were visiting me in the apartment previous to this one. And his gay friend looked at me and he said, "You're going to have a friend that is going to be around you and you can't see." And I was like, "Okay, I don't care for this. Please stop." And he's like, "No, just please listen." And I was like, "Okay, so you're going to have a friend and you can't see him, but he's there to help you. He's there to make you happy, bring positive vibes. I don't know, maybe protect you." And he said it like that. And I was like, hold up. Something's going to happen that he needs to protect me. Who is this person? You know, I got really interested in it. But that's all he said. And he said it out of the blue. Like, we were in the kitchen and I was like bringing snacks back to the living room so we could all talk. And his friend came over, like all real quiet, all like a median, whatever, like that Jersey median lady, you know, just real weird. And then just never talked about it again. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And so like after he said that, I started having issues with not good ghosts, like bad vibes everywhere. Like, my dog started growling. I lived in this apartment for 6 months and suddenly she just started growling at a certain stuffy I had. And I wasn't really attached to this stuffy, so I nixed it. I was like, get out of here. Don't need you. But you know, she started growling at the stuffy that she never growled at. The sugar again, kept spilling over. Like, I kept a little bowl of sugar out without a lid on and it kept getting like spilled across, like somebody took a handful and just like threw it like dice across my counter. And I was like, oh, this is weird. And like having a couple ghost experience here and there, I'm like, knock it off. But every time I would like address this ghost, I would get like it was mad at me. I got like kind of like a fuck you lady back. And I didn't, so I stopped talking to it. I was like, okay, fine. You don't want me to talk to you, go away. And like, I ignored it for a long time. And then it just started escalating. I had one crucifix on the wall and it kept falling off. And I was like, this is shit I don't want to deal with. And I was really, really bummed out about it. And so I'm now living in Appleton, Wisconsin, and my parents are in Hawaii. Like, I'm out on my own and I didn't know who to call. So I called a church here and I was like, hey, yo, I got some weird stuff going on. And of course they wanted me to like be part of the congregation and stuff like that. And it was just a big rigmarole. But basically like the pastor's wife came out and she was like, yeah, I'm gonna, like, in so many words, she was like, I'm gonna take this thing with me when I go and we're gonna deal with it. And I was like, okay, that's weird. And it pretty much stopped after that. Like, but it was all bad things. Like, it just bad vibes around that whole apartment and that whole experience. And like every time like a picture would be crooked, like just bad things, just a little bit of bad things. And I'm like, okay, weird. And so then I move into this new apartment and I start dating Jordan. We're living together and suddenly I'm noticing handprints on the glass, but they're like kind of little handprints, and they're not in a place where a kid could reach them. And I go to clean them away, and they don't have fingerprints. Like, because it's on my glass sliding door, I can't see a fingerprint. I just see the handprint itself. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. And it's too high for a kid to reach. And it's on the inside. And I don't have kids that are visiting this apartment. And I'm like, fuck, it's this thing again. It's following me. And I got real nervous. And Jordan's not religious in any means. And I'm like, yo, I think I got a bad spirit, maybe a demon following me around. I don't know. I just get really, really bad vibes. And I don't want it happening here. Like, but the handprints didn't give me bad vibes. I just got more of a sense of dread. And he was like, nah, you're being dramatic. It's fine. He didn't see the handprint. And then a couple days later, we're in the kitchen doing something, and we were both looking up. We're looking up at the ceiling fan. And I noticed that there are handprints, but they're like adult handprints along the wall, as if somebody's crawling on top of the wall. And I'm like, what the? And again, I'm not getting like a bad feeling from it, but I'm like, what is that? And Jordan sees it this time, and he wipes it away, and he's like, yeah, that's a handprint. That's not like somebody painted up there and stuck their hands on it. And I was like, those haven't been there before. Like, I've cleaned my ceiling fan. I've seen that area. I haven't seen handprints. And we just like couldn't explain it. And the TV would go mute. It would mute itself at random times. And it never did that before Jordan lived there. And it never did that before he hung up the sweatshirt. And it was just like, okay, maybe the TV's busted. It was all like, okay, this, okay, that. And we kept explaining it away. And then we moved to our trailer, and like lights are flickering. Like, I'd be in the shower again. I'm older now, so I feel more safe in the shower, but I'm still like, got that little bit of fear. And the lights just go off. And I'm like, Jordan, turn the lights back on. I don't feel like that. Da, da, da. You know? And he's not there. He's like outside in the shed doing something. I'm like, oh, it's just me. And again, I'm not getting like a sense of dread, anything bad. But I'm like, weird, really, really weird. And then one night after our daughter is born, I see a shadow standing over her. And I'm like, fuck this. Like, I got so irrationally mad. I was like, don't you mess with her. You leave her alone. You come at me. Like, I got mama bear. And I was so mad that like this was going to start happening to my daughter. And I don't know why I felt that way, but I felt it. And this black shadow turned around, and I got like, I didn't see a smile, but I got like a sense of a smile, and not like a scary smile, like a haha, got you kind of smile. And I was like, man, what is it? And I finally told Jordan, I was like, I don't care what you think. This is happening. Let's explain it. Let's work through it. Let's whatever. And he's like, well, sometimes crystals hold energy. And so we started putting out like quartz crystals and like trying to like suck up bad energies or good energies and just get, make it neutral, you know, because he's kind of into rocks that way. And I was like, okay, whatever, we'll do it. We'll do whatever. I don't care. My crosses aren't getting messed with. Nothing like that is happening. No bad vibes. Just like, I'm mad at you because you're basically pranking me. Like, it felt like a bad prank, like a Michael Scott from The Office prank. It's not funny, but it's still his prank.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's, like, the whole vibe I'm getting. And Jordan's like, maybe it's Casper. Like, Casper said he'd always protect me. And like, it only happened when his sweatshirt got hung up. I'm sorry, I forgot this part. His sweatshirt got hung up above my daughter's crib, kind of like on a memorial board that we have for him with his pictures and stuff. And it only happened when it was hung up and stuff like that. And I started packing to move into our new house, and I packed up the sweatshirt. I was like, oh, you want to mess with me? You want to turn off the lights? You want to turn off my stove? You want to stand over my daughter and creep me out? You know, all these things. Like, no, no, thank you. Goodbye, sir. And so I packed up his sweatshirt, and it stopped. Like, all of the pranking stopped. Everything stopped. And this was like going on for 3 or 4 years. It's not like it was so aggressive for 6 months. It was over a time frame. And then all this, like the, a week after I put that sweatshirt away, my cross fell off of the wall. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, maybe Luna got it. Cause it was a little bit low. Luna's my daughter. Like, it's a little bit lower. So I was like, maybe Luna got it. And then like the rocks that were on top of the windowsill got like I watched them get smacked off and fall off. And like one landed halfway in the room. Like there was some force behind it. And these are like the rose quartz and the quartz rocks that are supposed to get this energy. And I just started feeling bad. And that's when my daughter started having these like scream nightmares. And I got really afraid. I was like, crap. Like at the time, like when she's growing up developmentally, she should start dreaming. So it would make sense that she would start crying in her sleep at night. But, you know, she was doing all of these things. And then she started talking about a man with a red eye. And I was like, I was like, damn it, go away. I was so mad and frustrated and I didn't know what to do. And so I called up my parents and I was like, hey, can I go through some of our stuff? I want to find some things. And I found another cross that my mom had and my pastor gave it to me when I was baptized. And I put that one up because I was like, you got power. I know you got power. Like, you're my OG. Help me, please. So I put that up and I was like, just please, whatever's here, tell it to go away. I don't want my daughter to deal with it above all, but I don't want to deal with this. And I don't know why something told me to bring out Casper's sweater and his dog tags and the key and put it all out. And I did. And that night that I put it out, I remember waking up in the middle of the night and I was like awake. I wasn't half awake. And all I heard was, I got you. And I was like, what? Like I heard a voice and it wasn't in my head. It was like clearly audible. And I was like, what is happening? And then all of a sudden I hear Luna get up out of bed and she's like toddler walking over to me. She goes, Mom, I'm supposed to tell you I got you. But like, you know, in kid terms. And I was like, oh, okay, honey, thank you. And then she's like, that guy's not coming here anymore. And I'm like, what guy? And she goes, the guy with the red eye. I was like, okay, let's go to bed. We're dreaming, whatever. The next morning, so persistent. She's like, I'm not going to see him again, ever. And I was like, okay, cool, whatever. And like, I don't know if it was a cross. I don't know if it was Casper. I don't know if it was a combination of the two. But I was like, thank you, you know. And the pranks started back up. I was washing my hands and the faucet never moved. We have the two handles. The faucet never moved, but the water just got really cold. And I had both hot and cold on. And I was like, you think you're so funny? Like, no. And like little pranks like that just started happening again after I put his sweatshirt up. And I was like, okay, that's weird. We moved into my parents' house for a little bit. While we were transitioning into the new house, and his sweatshirt was packed away and put away. And Luna saw, and I don't know if it's her being a kid or if it's something she actually saw, but she came down from my parents where we all slept. And she's like, I saw a wolf with red eyes in the closet. Like we're going through a lot. We're transitioning. It's okay. You didn't see anything. It's fine. It's just a bad dream. You know, I really like just like, it's okay. Like, even if you did, tell it to go away. It's not going to hurt us here, you know, kind of thing. And I was just trying my best to like soothe her. And she only said it the one time, but she said it. And none of the pranks happened at my parents' house. Nothing happened. And now we're in the new house and Casper's sweatshirt is back out. Luna, and also with this move, I don't know if it's because she moved into my parents and then moved into this house, but she hasn't said anything about anything with red eyes. She's just like, whatever, it's fine. This is my life. This is my room. But his sweatshirt came back out. And my favorite picture that Jordan drew, it's like a little, like, I don't know, 3x3. It's real tiny, real little square thing. Jordan hung it up. I saw him hang it up. It's high. It's above a door. And yesterday I was walking past it and it was flipped upside down. And I was like, God damn it. And then, sorry. And then I was just like, it's not funny. I'll put you back in a box. I'm not afraid to. And, you know, because at this point, like, I've been dealing with this for a couple years with his pranks. Like, kind of talk shit to him. And then I go into my bedroom and on our white door, I see a handprint and I'm like, okay, prank us all you want. I don't care. This is my life now. Like, but you're doing something. You're keeping my kids safe. So oh, sure, go for it. Oh, and the cross that my pastor gave me when I was baptized, my mom took it, so I don't have it. She has it at her house, but that would be hanging up too.
Man, I tell you, like, hearing you tell this story and stuff, I can hear the emotion in your voice. And as soon as you start talking about, you know, the mama bear mentality kick in, I can tell it affects you. I can tell it affects you. Yeah. And it's, I was sitting here thinking, I know that sound in people's voices. And, you know, I've had several different ladies on the show talk about how things that, you know, maybe affected them in their childhood coming back to affect their children. And it's a very similar tone of voice. I'm assuming you, at some points, you just felt really helpless.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm assuming it's Casper, but when that shadow figure was over her, I got mad, like irrationally mad, like somebody scared you. And now you're like, oh, don't do that. I got, but like when she was talking about the red eyes and crying and waking up, scream crying, like, I didn't feel angry. I at best frustrated. I just felt helpless. Like I was like, there's nothing I can do. This is something she's going to have to go through. And it sucks. It sucks so bad because there's a million other things in this world that she's got to deal with. Let's not make paranormal one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like, you know, I don't know. It sucks because, you know what you went through and you don't want it for your kids, and that feeling of helplessness. I hope I never have to deal with that with my kids. You know, my son right now, he's just waking up saying that the tornado is getting him. I'm like, bro, stop watching the tornado cartoon then, you know? So,
yeah.
But, yeah, I feel for you. Let's wrap this up here with the auras, because, that's the last thing that was in the email. And I don't know if you're still seeing auras, but I'm assuming it was auras around people.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, the girl that, touched me. I think it's her stepdad. I don't remember his relation to her, but I remember seeing brown, just like, I call them crayons, cause they're not like traditionally what people think of, like a floating light around people. I got like an impression of a color. And sometimes, like, if it was strong enough, like, specifically with him, I don't know why, but I would see, like, the Crayola wrapping around his stomach, like, he was an actual crayon. So, yeah, he was a brown color. And I remember my grandpa, like, babysitting me and the little girl, and he came to pick us up, and he wanted a hug. And I didn't know, like, that he was the one that was doing it to her. At the time, nobody did. And he was like, you know, he's like, oh, come give me a hug, kiss, bye, like, whatever. And I was like, no, you're a brown crayon, and that's gross. Like, I was very, like, I don't want anything to do with you kind of thing. And then when I met Jordan, he said that he saw an aura out of me. And I remember very distinctly seeing a color out of him, and it popped. It wasn't like I saw like when I was little, I saw like the Crayola writing, like a little piece of paper around this guy. It was just like a quick flash of an image popped into my head of a color crayon. When I saw Jordan, like I didn't say I love you first. He did. So it was a couple months later, and I was like, I remember seeing this flash of the color crayon, and then I just turned around and was like, I love you. And I was like, I don't know why I said that. I'm sorry. I was like, it's okay. I've been saying it for a while, lady. But yeah, it was like, I don't know, something about that. There was a mailman that I saw once, and it was middle school. I want to say I was like 13, 14, almost out of middle school. And I was way too old, but this mailman was just so flippin' nice. Like, just so nice. And he'd always get out of his truck to deliver the mail to me and my mom if we were outside of our house, like, chilling on the patio or something. And I saw the same color yellow that I saw from that angel when I was little. And I don't know, and then he just stopped showing up one day. Like, he was there for 3 or 4 weeks, and then it was right before we moved. If someone said he retired or something, my mom told me that, you know, we got a new mail person. But I remember it, like, I was like, wow, that, and it was the exact yellow. It was so weird. And it just, I don't know, it warmed my heart and it didn't feel nice. And then, yeah, there's a couple of times since that, like, I'll meet somebody and, like, I don't know why, but, it's more of like a flash, like you just like somebody quick flashes you like a flash card of a certain color crayon. And most of the time, like green for me, those people need me to listen and like, or need help in some way. Like I was working with this one coworker, and I saw her get interviewed, but we obviously didn't talk then because I was working and she was, you know, getting interviewed at this deli. And I saw the flash of green and I was like, oh, and I don't know why, but I was like, hey, Carl, you really need to hire her. Don't ask me why. I just think she'll be good. And she sucked as an employee, but, we hired her and like, she learned a lot and she had that ability. Like she wanted to learn and she wanted to know about the food industry. And then I saw like a flash card again of like red. And I just asked her, I was like, hey, are you okay? And she's like, you know what? Yes. Like this job has really like helped me. I got my kids now. Like I can afford to like put a bed, like each kid had their own bed now. It was just a lot. And she just felt like better and her color changed. And I was like, oh, weird. Okay, cool. Like, I'm glad you like the job. I'm glad it's working for you. And just a couple of those. Yeah, there was one time I didn't get to see the person's face, but we were walking in the mall and somebody came out of a store and was walking in front of us. All I saw was the back of the head. And I saw the flash card again of like a black crayon. And I don't, like, again, I was just impulsive. I was like, we need to go the other way. And I turned with my girlfriend and I started, like, I crossed the mall and started walking on the other side away from them. And my girlfriend was like, why? And she clearly saw me like looking at this guy. He was the only one in front of us. And as we turn and walk, she's looking at him and he stops, turns around, looks at her. And she said that like he gave her this really creepy grin. And she's like, dude, I got rape vibes from him. And I was like, yeah, nah, didn't feel right. So, yeah.
Wow.
That's me.
Yeah. I mean, so you start seeing these auras and stuff. And I mean, it seems like it's just very natural and part of your life for you. Did you ever feel like, at what point did you realize that not everybody saw this kind of stuff?
When I was young and I was still calling them crayons, there was like, there's probably like four or five people. And I was telling my mom about it. You know, I said to my grandpa out loud, like, no, you're a brown crayon, get away from me. And I told my mom a couple times, like, oh, she's this crayon, she's that crayon, they're that crayon, you know. And she's like, stop, that's weird. People aren't crayons. And so I stopped talking about it then. And then when I was in high school and taking a photography class, I learned about like photography auras. And then that piqued my interest. And I realized that like people seeing auras is a thing, you know. Like I kind of knew about it like from Supernatural, like those spinoff shows and stuff like that and all the weird paranormal stuff I was getting into, but I didn't really like look into it until high school. And now it doesn't happen often, but when it does, like, I try and listen.
Understand that for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, Brooke, I know I've taken up a lot of your time here on your work day. Yeah. I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing these experiences.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. I feel like a cool kid now.
No, thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Thank you. I love the content. I love how crazy the show is getting. It's just insane. Like, it makes me feel so normal.
Welcome
well,
thank
to
you. Yeah, I mean, welcome to the confessionals where we make you feel normal. So I love it. Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, please share the show with your friends. I don't care where or how you share the show. Just share the show if you enjoyed it, because that's the best thing you can do to help this show grow. Just share it with your friends and family. I don't care where, though. Just share the show. And I do appreciate you guys tuning in and listening on a weekly basis. And just a reminder, go ahead and subscribe to the YouTube channel, The Confessionals, for all things that I produce on video. And like I said earlier in the show, if you have any thoughts and ideas, should I call the channel Merkle Media? Should I just call it Tony Merkle? Should I call it, what should I call it? please shoot us an email with your thoughts and suggestion or comment on the Instagram. I say Instagram because I am most active on Instagram. I barely venture into other social medias most of the time. So if you want to let me know, just shoot me an email, theconfessionals@theconfessionalspodcast.com, or comment on the show art for this episode on Instagram. All right, friends, thanks a lot for being here. Until next week, stay safe, take care, and remember, the truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off. Bye.
Awakened from the forest in the depths of the abyss, this creature is a paradigm of time lost and time itself. It fears no one. It adheres to no rule that man can create. It forges its own path, and yet its path remains hidden from the world. The sphere of its existence is beyond most comprehension as it exudes its power quietly but transcendent. It needs no one's approval to exist, but yet its very existence is sought after by many. It watches. It learns. Adapts to the ever-changing environment around it, even as the environment is wrought with corruption. It battles the corruption only when pressed or for the protection of others like it. It is a mirage that few will ever understand. It's a cornucopia of knowledge from an era long past. It's free. It's Bigfoot.
My fantasies always consisted of making it big. My soul was nothing more than a bargaining chip. Marketing is what they tell you to do and what you're willing to give. LARPing to the fullest extent. I don't wait, I shoot first like Han on a Rodian. These people don't understand me like reading Enochian. Stretch thin like pulling an accordion. My heart ain't primordium. All these historians telling us lies. Setting aside everything is medicalized. Politicians selling the ride. I bet I'm a die where the relevance lies. They're dressing alike. Reptilians. My resilience is brilliant. I'm here to lead the rebellion on Hellion. Salient alien with no melanin. I'm a Yeti hiding from Armageddon. Come and find me. I ain't even hiding.